Thank you for watching Conscious Consumer Network. The live stream broadcast is free to view. You can pause and rewind live broadcasts to catch up, or view shows at a later date by accessing our free archives of all shows. Check out our broadcast guide to see what's on. You can show your support by donating to our network support fund. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or subscribe to the monthly newsletter for updates. We thank you for supporting free and independent media.
Well, welcome back, everyone. This is the 50,000th unspun. Oh, no, wait a second. It's the 50th, right?
50th, yes, sir.
Sorry. I got the zeros misplaced. But this is the 50th show, which is quite remarkable. And we want to thank the CCN network and all of the professionals that that put it on. Everyone should support this network, because obviously recent events have shown how important it is for the citizens to have their own way of getting facts. The people who have created the expression fake news obviously did so because their little monopoly on mind control was collapsing. And so they needed to try to steer the sheep back into the...
Well, it's like a conspiracy theory, right, Joe? And they created that.
Yeah, that wasn't working out. We're going to cover a wide range of topics today. You know, the last, three shows we've done Pizzagate. So the issues are piling up. There's so many things to try to communicate. One thing that's very dear to my heart is food. And of course, this is one of the areas that we are being attacked. The chemical foods are obviously making us more stupid and sicker. And this, in my opinion, is not by accident. I think if you look at Brave New World, you'll see that this is a template. It's not a warning. Huxley was friends with the Rothschilds and every oligarch you can imagine. This was something that was written basically just to document the program, which is what they like to do, assuming that we're too stupid to understand their symbolism. But anyway, the racially distinct caste system is basically, in my opinion, being brought about by all of the damage that is being done to our bodies. So one of the ways that this all is hurting us is that there are a lot of hidden taxes that they put into different products in order basically to make it more difficult for them to get to us. And so the first thing we wanted to talk about was the hidden taxes, and not just in food, but in many different areas. Jan has done some really good research into this area. And Jan, I was hoping you would share some of that with us.
Well, what I'm showing here on screen, Joe, is some of these hidden taxes that we all pay when we buy a product at the grocery store, or, you know, some form of market or department store or whatever. These are all different taxes that we all have to pay. And there are actually dozens of them, probably hundreds. I spent several hours today just trying to document the biggest ones, but it's really hard to, find, even to really get a grasp on how many of these there are. And, you know, so what people need to understand, though, is that each of these logos that you see on food, and here's the Rainforest Alliance, and all of these are actually taxes, and they hurt small businesses more than anything. So if you want to be a part of these, if you want to be able to call what you're growing on your property organic, whether or not you've ever put anything on it, and whether or not any chemicals have ever been sprayed there in the 50 years you've lived there, you have to pay a tax to these organizations to be able to label your food organic. And then that increases the price to the customer. And so what we're seeing, though, is an issue here that's gone completely rampant, where it's now any little thing that they can dream up, they create a certification for it, and then you're charged a tax for it whenever you buy those products. So, you know, if you want halal meat, there's a label for that. There's a tax. And they pay these people, you know, these people have to pay these halal organizations to get that. The same with the kosher organizations. If you want the one of the kosher labels, and there's about 40 or 50 different ones in the U.S. alone, if you want one of those, you have to pay a tax and you have to go through all of this stuff to get their label. Good manufacturing practices label, USDA organic. And you know, and these are just some of these that I kind of wanted to cover today. Certified organic OCIA, which is kind of a funny name, OCIA. Canada organic or Australia organic. I'm sure England and Europe have their own. CCOF organic. Certified sustainable seafood. Fair trade certified. Food Alliance. Non-GMO project verified. Certified real milk cheese. Dairy free. Certified gluten-free, you know, and just, you know, for the certified gluten-free, if a manufacturer of a product wants their label as gluten-free, they have to pay $500. So automatically that increases. So if you're a small company starting out, you might not have $500, you know, and then they have other fees that, you know, you have a third party company come out and test your facility, and you have to pay the lab for, you know, checking for any, you know, dust particulate of wheat or something like that in your business or in your kitchen. And then there's certified vegan verified, U.S. Department of Commerce, dolphin safe, leaping bunny, which is a no animal testing one, allergen control compliant, certified humane. And, you know, I've seen some products that have up to 6 or 8, maybe 9 of these different labels on them. And each one of these adds up, you know, when you go to the store and you buy a grass fed steak, you know, or, you know, from grass fed beef, and you're wondering why the price suddenly doubled, you know, this year. You know, this is one of the ways that they're doing it. And then you going on here, Global Animal Partnership, Animal Welfare Approved, Rainforest Alliance Certified, Buy Fresh, Buy Local, 100% Natural, Paleo Certified. And then you have non-food products even, like WaterSense and building Green Building Council, Smart Certified Carpets, Certified Furniture, Eco Logo, the UL symbol that we all see in electronics, or the Green Seal, or Cradle to Cradle. Then there's the Energy Star that we all see on in our refrigerators and this stuff. All of these are actually taxes, and these companies have to pay to go through a process to get these. You know, and so we can argue that this regulation is a good thing, but the real issue with these things is that it comes down to this. It's really simple. We're taxing good behavior and not taxing bad behavior, when it should be that the companies that do use GMO products or do put pesticides in their foods, etc., those products should have to be labeled.
Absolutely. That is absolutely right. And this is something that just drives me furious, is that if you are someone who has gone to all the trouble to create organic produce, like in Santa Barbara, right, what is your reward? Your reward is an enormous tax that you have to pay to the certification system in the state of California. The way to do it is if you are able to achieve that degree of purity of food, is the state to give them a bonus. They should be given a bonus. The first thing that you should do is say, this is great. This food is really healthy. It's going to make people strong and well. And you know what, Mr. Farmer, we just gave you $2,500 because of what you've achieved. All of those certifications that you have listed, I'm really glad that you did this too. Really happy, because this is something that's been bothering me. This is a creeping taxation upon good behavior.
Just absolutely. It's crushing small businesses.
I'll give you an example. My wife and I go to all of the organic farmers in our community. There's 78 approximately organic farmers near where we live, okay? Very strong organic farm growing community here. About half of them are in danger of losing their certification because they just can't afford it. Organic farming is very, very difficult because you don't have the advantages of killing everything using herbicides and insecticides, right? So you basically know you're going to lose half your crop. It's a labor of love. And when you put these hidden taxes on top of all of the business risks that they are taking already with the way that they're trying to farm, it is just too much. And so I'm glad that someone, and this is you, Jan, the indefatigable researcher, Jan Ervin, as I sometimes refer to him in interviews, meaning he's got a lot of energy.
Well Joe, you know, this is just an issue that's been pissing me off, and
let me finish my thought. I was going to say that no one has ever created the list. When you actually go do all the work and create that enormous list of all these different categories that they now are able to fleece money out of individuals trying to create healthy products, you can see how malevolent it is. It's not until you get the entire cluster laid out like you did that you can really see that we are taxing good behavior. We are punishing good behavior, whereas if you are just Mr. Guy with your glyphosate and your Roundup, your insecticides and hormones and every imaginable poison being put in your animals and in your food.
You don't have to label it at all.
You don't have to label it at all. You just say, come on in, bring the food on in. We'll just start eating, can't wait.
And here's the thing is these companies, and I've gone through, and some of them are multi-million dollar companies that are doing this, running these certifications. I don't want to call them scams. I should be careful, but they market this as like a good thing. And then they have it all over their website on why farmers and producers and manufacturers should have their labels on. And, you know, it increases customer trust and, you know, this and that, you know, and customers have essentially been marketed these, logos and to look for them, rather than, you know, the opposite of that. But, you know, here's the thing is all of these products, this so-called, you know, organic products, et cetera, are so much more expensive, not just because of the factor of possibly losing half your crop, but because they have to pay these exorbitant fees. And not only that, but I was looking at some of the ones for grass-fed beef and and animals, and they would have to have somebody on the kill floor for a day, so it would cost them $800 to do it. That's the price of typically of one steer, so they're having to pay that to have somebody stand there and say that this whole thing is approved and to check and make sure that it's done under their certification standards, you know. So you have these. I forget which one it was. Now it was Certified Humane, I think, was the one who was. It was. And so they're, to have the HFAC fee for conducting inspections of a production manufacturing operation, pooled product operator, processor, or slaughter facility is $800 per day facility inspector.
Yeah. And you see, so the way that the laws should be structured is exactly the opposite.
Opposite.
What there should be is that the public should just assume that every single bit of food that comes into the grocery store that they can legally buy is organic. And everything else has to be labeled. Everything else has to be verified and explained, and the side effects and all the other stuff has to be presented. There shouldn't be a need for any kind of certification of organic, because that is...
Well, it comes from the earth that way, Joe.
Exactly.
They are taxing people to sell food the way it naturally comes from the earth, unadulterated.
Exactly. And so that's why...
And so this is the scam. They are taxing nature. They are taxing good behavior. All of this stuff is a massive scam,
they're taxing the natural world,
than taxing the farmers that use Roundup and forcing them to say, Roundup included on the label, carcinogen, possible risks, cancer, if it read like the
growth hormones, antibiotics. I mean, there should be a list of potential side effects on every single package of beef, just in the same way that is not organic, just in the same way as there are side effect lists on drugs.
Yeah, right? This has hormones.
This is the side effect from
brain fed.
Yeah, I mean, if your first three children are autistic. We suggest that you suspend use of this particular product. So things like that should be presented to the public, because when you look at the rates of autism, we're going to do a show on this in a little bit, but I've been doing research into it, and it's just absolutely catastrophic.
I know an expert in that.
So the thing is. It isn't just those that are designated autistic. Autism is simply a portion of the bell curve of human intelligence that our children represent. When you have a new category, and that's really what autism is in these numbers, what has happened is the entire bell curve is shifting to the bad side. This is the brave new world. These are the deltas and epsilons being created deliberately, because they absolutely know the effects that these chemicals have on human beings. The idea that they don't is just, it is not even possible. So the thing is that, particularly parents and pregnant women, you just have to do the research. You can't trust the world.
Well, Joe, speaking of parents and young couples, just think of how all of these taxes, these hidden taxes, these so-called certifications that are marketed as these great things, imagine how all of this affects young families trying to buy the best, healthiest food for their children.
Sure.
And so then, they're forced to buy lower quality foods often because it's going to cost a lot more. If I remember once about 9 or 10 years ago, I went into one of those whole something or other grocers.
Sure.
And I just bought all of the normal groceries that I usually bought the same at Trader Joe's or one of the other places. And my bill was over $400 more than usual.
Ouch. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that there it is. And so it is very, very difficult. In New York City, they have co-ops that basically are designed to help people work through the financial labyrinth. I don't have the information in front of me, but I know there are a couple of good ones. I have friends that are in the area that use them. And so there are ways to get reasonably priced organic food, but you have to really use your head. You have to go out of your way. It's not going to just show up on the counter in the local grocery store. You really have to plan. But this is where we're at.
Let me just read you something here, Joe, because this is off the USDA.gov website for their USDA organic certification. This is right on their website. It says under FAC becoming certified, there are 22,000 certified organic farms and businesses in the U.S. In 2015, there was approximately $43 billion in U.S. retail sales of organic products. And of course, each of those had that organic certification. So each of those farmers had to pay a tax to the USDA to put organic on the label.
There's a kind of rebellion taking place here in Santa Barbara. What's happening is that the organic farmers basically sell at a series of farmers markets. We have six a week in the area. Six farmers markets a week goes year round. So that just shows you how healthy the production of organic food and healthy food is in this area. But so what's happened is small organic farmers simply cannot afford to pay the certification. It's very expensive in California. I don't have the data, but I know it's
very expensive. Yeah, and I think California even has their own certifications on top of these.
On top of, exactly. So what's happened is the farmers have these open houses where people can come and look at their techniques and see that they're completely organic. And in many cases, these are people that we've known for years and years and years and can trust. Well, they don't have the organic certification. They don't. They say, look, I'm just not going to waste the money. I have to pass that along to you, and I can't afford it anyway. Here are my farming practices. This is the food. You can come up and see the farm in action if you want to get more details. These are my prices. I don't have the organic certification. And more of the farmers are doing that because more and more of the public are recognizing that it is up to us to create our certification of knowledge and trust.
Right.
We don't need the government. The government is a collection of basically of morons and individuals who are malevolent. I mean, this is what we are dealing with. And so we need, as the citizen, to like learn how to negotiate through all that. We need to organize ourselves into co-ops of information and trust, where we know one another, we know what we can expect, we know the farmers, we know the kinds of stuff that
well, this is exactly what they're trying to stop, Joe. That's what it always was before.
Exactly.
You know, back before the 1950s, that's exactly, 1960s, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Exactly. So that's why we've got to go back to it.
One thing that I wanted to mention about all of this is that, these certified organic and whatnot labels don't tell you that something like canola oil or rapeseed oil is completely, a toxic product that causes heart disease, et cetera. And they sell it as a healthy product. They don't tell you that you shouldn't be eating, wheat at all. You know, all they do is market organic and you think, oh, well, this is organic wheat. It's going to be healthier, but never mind. Organic whole wheat is even more dangerous than the heavily processed stuff. And, so these certifications don't warn you if food that you're eating, great, you're eating organic soybeans, but yay, soy has massive amounts of estrogen and it's labeled even by the U.S. government as a poison like 240 some times. So why would you dare eat it at all? So just because something is, marked organic and certified organic doesn't mean that it's something that you should even consider putting into your body.
My favorite absurdity is gluten-free. I mean,
you should be reading all of the labels, and that only showed up in the last, 5 or 6 years since Dr. William Davis exposed all of that. And then all of a sudden you saw a massive explosion in gluten-free certifications right after Davis's work came out. And I congratulate Davis on his work. He's helped, tens of thousands of people. But, and I had him on my show back in 2010, but the certification for it is just another hidden tax. I mean, folks, you should be going through and reading labels when you buy things at the store anyway. Right. If you can't understand the ingredients, don't freaking buy it.
Yeah, I mean, my point was is that, and this is anecdotal, but I have a family in-law who is gluten-free. Basically, he became allergic to wheat after, you know, a lifetime of abuse. So he's been gluten-free for 20 years, but he weighs like 500 pounds because he has sugar, you know. And so the thing is that what my point was is not to you know, denigrate like gluten, but are people trying to be free of gluten? That's a good thing to be free from. But it's just you can't just stop with that. You've got to go
in. Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be loading up on crappy carbos all the time anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So that's the thing is that we have so many toxins in the environment, you know, from sugar, corn syrup, like you say, anything that is created from soy. These are not natural foods, not in the kind of volumes that we're eating.
Well, yeah. and tofu, you know, I used to just feel absolutely terrible when I ate tofu and would give me nasty heartburn and all kinds of stuff. And then
what's your diet these days, John?
I stick to pretty much paleo. You know, I had Dave Asprey on, I had Sally Fallon on, etc. And I pretty much, you know, stick to, you know, the basic essential charts of you know, like Dave Asprey's chart of, you know, lots of fat, lots of meat, lots of vegetables, and small amounts of fruit and little carbs. You know, I'll eat like a yam or something like that a few times a week, or white rice, but I pretty much stay away from the other carbs and all of that crud these days.
Well, when I first met you, you seemed anemic to me, and now you're as robust as a bodybuilder, for God's sakes. I mean, the diet has really done good for you.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, getting the weed out of my system. I stopped eating it, in 2010 or so, after I had Davis on the show.
By 2010, I remember.
Yeah, and so it took about a year from there to really start rebuilding, and I just stuck with it and eating lots of butter and fat. But, you know, that's... you know, it's lots of butter, fat, meat, eggs, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that really helped turning around and just staying the heck away from grains in general, except for white rice. But, yeah, so, you know, this is just a topic that I really wanted to get into. I mean, we could even go into how, you know, go into more detail on a lot of these organizations, because it's pretty astounding once you realize, you know, how much that, you know, people are being taxed and in every way. And, you know, Joe, even right here on the desk, I brought over some things out of the cupboard just to show people. So this symbol right here on the bottom, this little U right above my finger there, I don't know if you can see that. That symbol is actually a kosher tax right there. And that's on a box of Ziploc bags. So you're actually getting taxed for that. Here is...
I'm glad that wasn't a pedophile symbol.
Now, yeah, no kidding. Now, here is... this is just a simple aluminum foil, okay? No kidding. You have... somehow, they need to make foil kosher. And so right there is the little kosher logo. So, you know, these are taxed products. You know, these hidden taxes on them. And, you know, when we think of kosher laws, it's like, okay, you know, that's fine if those who are Jewish want to pay that tax, but why are they taxing the other 97-98% of the population? So that's another issue. It's like with the organic and all these certification taxes, you're taxing the wrong people.
Yeah. There's a lot of just business malevolence. For water, I use the Berkey ceramic filter. That product, it has the very best water. The osmosis doesn't get out as much of the bad stuff as the ceramic filter, well-made ceramic filter. And it also takes out all the minerals that should be in water. The ceramic filters, the Berkey anyway, leaves in the minerals that should be there and takes everything else out. I mean, you know, you get all of the fluoride, the pharmaceuticals, everything comes out, and the water tastes really good. Now, what they've done is, in California, is that you can buy the 1.5-gallon size Berkey. It's legal, right? You can just get it. But any larger size is illegal to buy in California. And in other words, what they've done is that they forced you to get the a larger size, like a 3-gallon one, certified by a state inspector, costs like $1,200 or something to have a guy come and do a certification. But this is just the effect of lobbying of the reverse osmosis industry, because they realize that this competition is not something they can bear. And so they've
The reverse osmosis, they have these cells you can just put in the line that puts the minerals back into the water that's coming out. It's not,
you can do that, but then, just the results. When I was looking at, what to get, I went and looked at the data, and I thought the Berkey was by far and away the best. And the thing I really love, but here's what I really like.
We're getting off topic here though.
I know, but the filters last like over 10 years. And so this gives me it's kind of a way that you can just be without irritating people coming into your house to like swap out the filters or having to deal with them. So I think that's just an example of the malevolence, because I think that's part of what we're up against, is that the taxation on organic products is one of the ways that the GMO industry makes sure that there's no competition.
Now, what I want to show here is just more of this. Now, this is from the Certified Humane group, and then they have a tax per head of animals. So if you're a small farmer, if you have 0 to 25,000 animals, you pay $1.10 per head. If you're a massive farmer with nearly 500,000 animals, you pay 17 cents a head.
Well, that's competitive.
So a small farmer is going to pay almost six times more to get their cattle certified. Here's another thing, is like Texas has 4 to 5 million wild feral boar destroying the environment all over Texas, and so if you're a hunter going out and helping them, trying to, stop the destruction of the environment by these boar, then you're going to be paying these huge taxes. So 55 cents a pig, and somebody who's, bringing in 200,000 animals is paying 15. Or what about, a penny for every eighth, or an eighth of a cent per gallon, for dairy cows. I mean, look at all of this. Laying hens, so they're going to come in and they're going to charge you 7 cents per case of 30 dozen. So these are all hidden taxes, and that's just so these companies can put this label on their stuff.
Which label is that?
This is I'll bring it up here. It's the Certified Humane.
Certified Humane.
Yep.
So it's raised without, I'm not sure what the criteria would be, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, they break it all down on their website. Take action, how we work, where to buy, farmers, ranchers, all this stuff. But so if you want these certifications, you're going to have to pay them. Here's the non-GMO project, the same thing. Get verified. This website forces you to fill out a bunch, a form and everything before they'll even really give you the information on it. But, a lot of them won't give you the pricing directly on the website. You have to call them up or whatever.
Well, okay, this is all good. Now, is Trump going to fix all this, John?
Oh, I doubt it. You think he would get rid of all the hidden taxes on all the food? That would be nice, but I doubt it's going to happen.
They talk about this guy draining the swamp. What do you think?
It would sure be nice. I mean, it's a nice, hopeful thought. It'd be nice if we had a legitimate group of leaders and power for once in history, but it hasn't happened in 200 and something years.
Yeah, I compare Trump to Obama. I recall when Obama was elected, everyone thought that there was going to be, an end of the Federal Reserve, the bankers, but the 08 financial crisis had just occurred. That was all going to get cleaned up. And then the wars would all end, right? well, you know, nothing changed. And so I think Obama should be like the biggest wake-up call to the voting public that the candidates are fake, you know, that they're just puppets. I mean, in the recent election, you've got, you know, the pussy grabbing racist white male versus the cultural Marxist librarian in pantsuits, you know. And so what they've done is they have a puppet show, and in order to have the puppet show not be the strings not be seen, you need a lot of drama between the puppets. And so that's really what I think we've just experienced, is just a very elaborate drama that everyone has, you know, been brought into. And there's the differences between the two are what's highlighted. But the fact is, in the fundamental areas, in the areas of the banks and the wars, I don't think there is any difference. And, you know, people have been talking about how Trump will be releasing truth bombs. I don't know if you've been following this media phenomena, but these truth bombs, you know, that Trump might even reopen 911 or, you know, talk about Pizzagate honestly, things like this. You know, I just don't see it. I think what you're going to see is, I mean, I would love to have that happen. I would love that there could be honest discussions between our, you know, political class and the public. But I have a feeling that, you know, there'll be symbolic issues like a wall with Mexico or same-sex marriage, stuff like that will be the focus. But then the wars will just go on, the Federal Reserve will just go on, and this horrible tragedy that has been alluded to with this Pizzagate material won't even be mentioned.
Yeah, it probably won't be. You know, it's it would sure be nice that we had a miracle for once, but you know, yeah. I'm not going to hope.
You know, today they had this Rudy Giuliani tweet that was
right, and I saw it, and I sent it to you, and it ended up being fake. You know,
yeah, that's just I think that was a deliberate operation to try to create fake news. In other words, you know, right. They created the term, and now they're going to create damaging fake news that they can then expose as fake and say, well, there it is. Look at all, you know, look at all these people that picked it up and were fooled by it. There's the fake news. So, you know, that's what I'm concerned about. But, you know, look, there's a process going on, and it's interesting because it's in the certification material that you just went through. And it's also in the way that we need to relate to our political class, to these elections. I mean, the what's going on is the public is just becoming aware of the operation of the secret society, you know, and we know how clever they are. We know on this show, we've gone over the NLP, we've gone over the MK Ultra material. We've shown how the government was creating the counterculture, the reason they were doing it, was shown how the family was the target because they wanted to atomize our society into individuals so that they would be much easier to control. All of that has been well documented, I feel, in our show. When you look at these elements, basically you have to look at these things in that context. You have to think, well, you know, here comes, you know, Trump, here comes this meme of fake news. This is just more ways to confuse us. And what has to happen is we just have to learn to think better. You know, we have to learn to use logic, to use our senses, and to communicate that information among ourselves. And Jan, one thing that happened over the last month that really is important, I think more important than the election, is that the Pizzagate researchers really communicated with one another. I mean, you had tens of thousands of people doing research. They were exchanging it. Stuff that was bogus was exposed, and stuff that was real, like people were digging in and finding more photographic evidence of pedophilia. I mean, all that stuff withstood the test of time. And at the end, there was just this very powerful body of evidence and information that people had access to. And this is what we have to learn how to do. We have to do it over and over and over again. We need to have a group of citizen researchers with that kind of energy taking on every single issue that comes up until we have brought all the citizenry into communication with it.
Well, yeah, and then you should have a collection of all of the core data points too, hand over, but that's exactly what they don't want, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, Gnostic
media. Once you have that, you know, once you have that, you should be able to at least, you know, get some form of indictment, you know, for a search warrant or whatever. But, you know, well, it's like.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they've got all of the political class tied down. I mean, people were saying, well, you know, the FBI is going to step in. The FBI and the CIA are at war. There were different rumors, you know, flying around. Look, they got the whole political class plugged, period. That's just all there is to it. I saw a picture of James Elefantis with the local Washington police chief, you know, at some kind of event right outside of Common Pizza. I don't know if it was, you know, I mean, it appeared to be right outside, and they were very, you can see they're very friendly. So they've got all that plugged. We can't make any progress in that area. What we can do is we can just start increasing awareness. And believe me, this may seem like it's impotent, like, oh, what are we going, you know, so what does that do? It'll do a lot. It will change the world if enough of it occurs, because basically this will create a different criteria for electing political people.
Well, and it ends the ignorance is bliss mentality. When people are aware of things, they can act accordingly.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why, you know, you should be praised so much for the brain, because that's a piece of software that the public can go into and see the connections and enable them to basically very quickly do a lot of core research in different areas and then see the relationships, you know? They can see the relationships. And
yeah, there's our buddy Aldous Huxley.
How shocking, right? You know, and there he was, and there he is with the one eye representation. There's a lot of people in this Pizzagate business that are following Aldous's, you know, one eye representation.
Yeah.
This nonsense Freemason symbol code that they use with one another. So anyway, it's you know, we're making progress as citizens. We are making progress, and we're going to continue to make progress. I really think that, you know, the fake news meme, it reminded me of what the guy who attacked the First Amendment, you know, he was saying that democracy can't exist with conspiracy theories. He's some DNC muckamuck. There's so many of them. I forget his name. Anyway, there's so many of these guys. But anyway, that when I mentioned before, I said, well, this shows you that we're over the target. That when you get things like that, that this just proves that we're starting to have a, you know, a cutting effect. And when they brought up the fake news meme, I think almost, you know, basically just as an overnight phenomenon to counter the Pizzagate information, this is makes them vulnerable, because it is so obviously a way to try to enforce mind control. You see what I mean? In other words, instead of the subtle NLP stuff, like when they were, you know, with the counterculture and the MK Ultra material, they can just take years and years to develop it, and it's so slow, it's so hard to see. Well, here they had to come with something almost overnight. You know, fake news. And I don't know. I'm not sure that they really bought themselves much time with it. They are pounding fake news right now. Just everywhere you see it. Just
absolutely everywhere. In fact, a friend of mine sent me a document last week that he pulled up, and he put together, you know, several dozens of articles saying conspiracy theory and fake news all in the same term. Now, here we can see that, you know, the CIA's actual dispatch about the creation and use of the word conspiracy theory. So this is the dispatch here.
Is that where they were telling people to go out and use this expression because that would help?
Yeah,
I love
countering
that.
Countering and discrediting the claims of the conspiracy theorists so as to inhibit the circulation of such claims in other countries. Background information is supplied, a classified section, etc.
Anyway, right. That was for the Kennedy assassination.
And, right. The Warren Commission.
Right. So now this is very clarifying, because you can see that the people that tried to cast aspersion on those pointing out a conspiracy were in fact engaged in a conspiracy.
Sure. You know, I mean, and I've found really fascinating connections, like Gordon Wass and the CIA's boy is all over the JFK assassination.
I know that. I mean, that's probably a whole show in itself, but I was just fascinated by that research.
In fact, look at this document right here on the screen. This is from the Palm Beach Sheriff's Department, and it was found on George DeMorenshield's body after he was suicided or murdered or whatever. And right here, we can see Gordon Wass and J.P. Morgan right there. And this was found in his pocket.
And who was this guy relative to the JFK case?
He was Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend. And he was working at the Russian, they were all hanging out at this Russian center. Where's Lee here? And I just put the...
Jeez. Well, I mean, isn't it the case that a lot of people thought that DeMorenshield was Lee Harvey Oswald's handler?
Yeah, he was. You know, so he was also Alex Sedell here. So there it is. You know, and Alex Sedell, possibly Kerry Thornley. Kerry Thornley, CIA, creates this whole Discordianism thing that Steve and I talk about in the next episode on the burners, which I will have out soon here. But so, you know, here's Lee Harvey Oswald. He's an agent, and he's working with his buddy, George DeMorenshield here. George DeMorenshield was pals with not only Gordon Wasson, but Gordon Wasson also worked with George DeMorenshield's brother, running the, the Russian student fund or something like that. You know, all of these guys just completely tie together here. But you have, Russian Review, Hoover Institute documents, East European Fund. That's what they were running together. But so here we go right here. You know, so Wasson was working directly with the DeMorenshields, and George DeMorenshield was Lee Harvey Oswald's direct handler. And then I went into the CFR archives and I verified Bruce Adamson's connections on the whole JFK assassination connections in there. Where are they? Anyway, I just had them up a minute ago, but those all checked out. So, you know, there's definitely more here to this, you know, to the whole JFK assassination with the CIA. So, you know, here's again these documents with Wasson, and then on this other document right here that was also found in George DeMorenshield's pocket, we're gonna see somewhere on here is I think it's this, yeah, this one right here is George H.W. Bush, and then right next to it in the parentheses it says Poppy. So, you know, and this is evidence obtained from the West Palm Beach Sheriff's Office and acquired by Bruce Adamson originally. So thanks to him, you know, and that connects, you know, I mean, this whole thing is a really tight little connection between the intel community, the JFK assassination, et cetera. Now I've forgotten how we even got over to JFK.
You've got to be careful when you get into the brain of
fake news and conspiracy theory.
Too many connections too quickly, because I think it activates my MKUltra programming when you go too fast. And
when I just, you know, scan through all these connections I plugged in here for almost a decade,
I start thinking I have to attack a dolphin or something, you know, some kind of
Have sex with dolphins or something, like what's his name,
John Lilly, you know.
John Lilly.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy stuff.
It is crazy. What's crazy times? Okay, so there it is, folks. We've shown you that, there's a tax. Please lobby against the punishment for good behavior. You know, if you have a chance to communicate to politicians, do so, to the effect that we want to reverse this. And when people create basically a level of quality that is noticeable, with the certification should come a bonus rather than a fee. And I think this would really promote more organic farming to exist, which would be obviously to the benefit of all of us.
So, well, I just think, Joe, how much more available it would be if you stop taxing the good behavior.
Yeah, well, you should subsidize
it. For the common people, you know, which is exactly what they don't want, obviously. That's why you tax the good behavior and give them the crappy food for, you know, tax-free.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. It's all, to me, you know, the idea that this is just bad policy is nonsensical. I think that it's design, you know, because...
Joe, if we come up with an idea, I don't know what it would be, certified grain-free, bean-free falafel, you know, but, you know, or just, you know, anything, you make it up, they'll come out with a certification to start taxing it right away.
Right, exactly.
You know, and you start going through it all and you can see how they're just hitting every little area. And boy, if you want to be in their club, you have to get their certification.
Right. So, you know, the idea that we are free and this is a land of the free is basically a kind of a propaganda. It's a way of socializing us. It's a way of accepting tyranny. George Bush saying that the reason that the Muslims attacked us on 9/11 is because they hate us for our freedom. I mean, it's just, you have to roll your eyes, you know. But the thing is that when you get this kind of taxation, when you get this in conjunction with, like in California now, the mandatory vaccinations. I mean, the state of California, if you want to attend public school, the religious opt-out is no longer there. You just have to accept the 66 vaccinations. I don't know the exact number, but it's huge. I mean, it's like that number, 60, something like that. So when you get that, the damage from the vaccines in conjunction with the damage from the food and the longstanding damage of the GMOs, well, you know, the kid gets to be 13, 14, what's left of him or her? You know, there's just been so much toxicity. So parents have to educate themselves. They have to form circles of education so that they can protect their children and to give them the best mind that they can give them, you know. And that's just, it's that important, really. It's absolutely critical that parents form these. You know, it's like, you know, my children are long gone, but if I, you know, I always think about, well, if I could have done it over, how would I have done it better? This is something I could have done better, for sure. I could have really spent much more time trying to understand the food and how it affects the long-standing health, you know. So no one knew at that time. This was really before the, you know, all of this stuff became widely known, but now it is, and now there are really good resource materials that people can, you know, get into to learn how to defend their children. And the defense of our children is really on my mind, Jan, these days, because the whole Pizzagate thing has just left me in with a lot of emotion. And so it's just, you know, we're basically elements in the food chain, and the political class has camouflaged their just absolute horror toward the children of the citizenry. They camouflage their activities and how they do things. And, you know, we're never quite sure of how to respond. Well, we just have to organize ourselves, you know, into circles of understanding and of self-protection. We just have to assume, you know, that we are basically in the food chain from the second we get up in the morning, and we have to learn how, we have to be much more aggressive about defending ourselves.
Yeah, and stop, you know, just closing your eyes. I mean, just because you see going back to the other subject, just because you see a label on a package doesn't mean it's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, absolutely. It's like, you know, and people seek out those products. And I don't know that I've seen anybody out there even covering how they're all a big scam. Almost every website I looked at was promoting them as the, you know, the greatest thing. And, you know, environmental labels explained and food labels explained and how great they are and look at what benefit they're doing. And, you know, and then you have these PR programs on all of their websites explaining why they're such a great thing, et cetera, and why these, you know, farmers should pay this money, and then they have to turn over and charge more to the customer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it, you know, it's just ridiculous. We got about 5 minutes left, Joe. What do you want to cover?
Well, I just wanted to point out that I recently watched a movie called Cowspiracy, and it had some very, very interesting points. It talked about how the agricultural industry is so destructive to the environment because they have to strip clear all these areas for cattle and also for the feed for the cattle, and how inefficient that all is in terms of mass food production. And when the researchers went to the agricultural industry to see how they were able to keep this, because there's been so much focus on fossil fuel, which actually is not as great a damage to the environment.
Well, it's not even a fossil fuel. It's abiogenic. It's
that's how they characterize it. But anyway, the fascinating thing was, is the researcher went to the people who run the lobbyists for the agricultural industry, and they actually had them admit that among the that they fund the environmental organizations. They actually fund them because they know that they're focused on this gas burning phenomena, and they don't ever mention that the agricultural industry and the way it's configured right now is really much more destructive. And so the fact that they're giving money to Greenpeace you know, is very, very telling. And it's just another example of how, you know, gee whiz, Jan, the citizen, just, you've got to be alert. You've got to wake up in the morning and have the energy to try to go out and get the data.
Well, you know, another issue, though, is, Joe, is the earth produces massive amounts of methane, et cetera. I mean, cow farts are not the problem. You know, North America was overrun with tens of millions of bison before there were cattle ranches. And they want us to believe that literally cow farts and burps are the greatest environmental impact that we've ever had.
Well, what I'm talking about is the stripping of the Amazon, which is something that really bothers me and I don't think should be done, because those plants in the Amazon function to some extent as the lungs of the planet, and I really want them to stay in existence.
Sure. So I'm not arguing to be bad stewards. And then I want to say one thing, though. There's also the issue that birds follow cattle and spread manure and seed together, and that actually in many instances stops desertification. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You have to, you know, look at how cattle also halt.
In a natural setting, the cattle are great, but the problem is when they're in sheds, what they never leave in their entire life, you know, they're taken into these feed lots, which are basically given steroids, hormones, food, you know, and all this poison. It's just not a natural situation, you know, and so that's the thing, is that the balance is not there. But I didn't, you know, but anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. I think we've given enough information for people to think about. Jan, you want to tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, GnosticMedia.com, GnosticMedia.com. Please support me on the website, run on donations and direct listener support. Please also support CCN and donate to the network and you know, help them out.
I mean, a real plug for CCN. I mean, gee whiz, they're becoming a major force to counter fake news. You know, CNN and Fox and all those other things.
Exactly.
You know, and so congratulations to Biggie and the whole crew there at CCN. They do a great job. You want to go to find my books or donate to me, go to caesarsmessiah.com. And I want to thank you know, a lot of people have made donations to me recently, which is kind of interesting, and I do appreciate it, and thank you so much.
I could really use some Christmas cheer on my end. It's been a slow month, so I can use all the donations I can get.
Well, and well earned too, Jan. So anyway, I'll see you next week, all right?
See you all next week. All right, take care. Bye-bye. Until then, take care. Merry Christmas, Joe.
If we want to change the world, we must first change the media. Mainstream media exists for the purposes of indoctrination and manipulation of public perception. The world of free and independent media is growing, and with the upsurge in information now available in the public domain, it has never been easier to access free and independent media. The exploration of this information resulted in an experimental project which would provide a fully supported space for researchers, whistleblowers, and seekers of all kinds to express themselves and educate the world. On the 1st of January 2015, Conscious Consumer Network was launched to the world. Nobody thought we would make it this far, but CCN is the longest running free and independent media network of its kind. CCN is a unique collaboration of hearts and souls, bringing you information from different perspectives to educate and inform. Since we started CCN, we have had only one desire, the pursuit of a free, fair, just, sustainable world, and this has not changed. Having overcome many challenges over the last 2 years, CCN is here to stay, and we've got great things lined up for 2017. Help keep CCN on the air by supporting the 2017 Network Support Fund.